of the Passover. And God instituted. Do you know that God knew that on the 10th time, 10 counts for a real knockout? 10 counts. And God already knew that when it's time for number 10, He says, prepare to go. He told all the Israelites, dress up. And no, everybody dressed down in the night to sleep. And here is coming to close midnight. They dress up. They put on their shoes. They celebrate Passover because the moment the angel of death had passed by, there will be a cry. And in the early hours in the morning, after midnight, they start walking out. God knew that. God knew there will be opposition. God knew it would take 10 times. God knew it. And do you know when they went into the wilderness, they had many trials. No water. At first, no food. And all those things. Do you know that in the wilderness, there were also 10 trials? 10 hardships that they faced? God knows. But out of that story comes many songs. I will sing unto the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously, the horse and the master thrown into the sea. I will sing unto the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously, horse and the rider thrown into the sea. There's a song sung by Miriam. Without that victory, there is no song. Expect an opposition, and 1B, find a way through the anointing of God to overcome. I did not say that you will overcome the first time. Sometimes you may have to knock him down 10 times. And God already knew it's going to take 10 times. You are the one who did not know. But how long? Then you cry, like any Christian. Lord, how long is this battle going to be before I overcome? Until you overcome. Stand. Having done all, stand. This is the philosophy of Paul. You know, Paul is one, when he sent forth, he will stand. In Ephesians chapter 6, this is how long he says to stand. Ephesians 6, verse 11. Ephesians 6 verse 11 onwards. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having all, done all, stand. In verse 14, stand therefore. That's about three times plus the original one in verse 11. It will be four times he mentioned the word stand. Stand, withstand, stand, and stand. So how long? Until the enemy is defeated. Give me another Bible story. Daniel and the lion's den. Find any Bible story that inspires you. There was opposition that they overcame. Your life and my life is a record in heaven. It's a testimony of which many witnesses. You know, we all read the Bible story and we are inspired. Do you know that right now, you and I are in God's, not the world's Hollywood or Bollywood, but in the real holy, holy woods. Bible and scripture, yes. Chapter 11 of Hebrews. In Hebrews 11, he tells about those people who have gone in faith. You know, those who we look back and all the great deeds that they have done in Hebrews 11. All the people he lists, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, and innumerable others, he says, who all stood fast by faith. By faith, they did all those things in chapter 11. And then in verse 12, chapter 12, verse 1, he says, therefore, which means in reference to all that has gone on in chapter 11, therefore, we also, now notice there's a therefore and an also. Having list all these men of faith, he says, therefore, we also, being surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. This cloud of witnesses refers to all those men and women of God who had gone on before and who from time to time are permitted by God. There is a place in heaven. There's a place in heaven where they can go and watch what goes on this earth. So if your parents have gone to be with the Lord, they can watch you from there. There's a place in heaven where all these people can watch what is going on this earth, and they're up there cheering you. They're up there as a cloud of witnesses, looking at the battle that is still raging on this earth, on this planet here. And they're looking for you and I to overcome. If there is no opposition, the word overcome is redundant. To overcome implies there's something that hinders you. And so one of the first things Paul learned in his first missionary journey, there will be opposition. That means we have to expect opposition, and we have to depend on God to find a way to overcome it. It may not be immediate. It may take time to overcome some things. But if you hang on to the Lord and allow the Lord to be your strength, the enemy will be defeated. So what does this point mean to each one of us? Confront your greatest fears. If there are any fears in your life, confront them. They have no place in your life and in my life. Now, that was not the only opposition. You notice that the opposition continued even after they left the island in Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. They went to Iconium. They went to Lystra in verse 8. And God was with them. They brought healing to a man who was lame, crippled from his mother's womb in verse 8. He was born a cripple. Instantly he was healed in verse 10. Paul shouted with a loud voice, stand up straight to your feet, and he leapt and he walked. So everyone thought they were gods. But then when the opposition came in verse 19 of Jews from Antioch and Iconium, having persuaded the multitudes in verse 19, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. You say, that is his first missionary journey. Now think about it. He was sent by the Holy Spirit. He was confronted by a sorcerer. Now he is confronted by physical difficulty. Yes, Jesus took all our sins, all our sicknesses, all our diseases. But wasn't it Jesus who said that as they persecuted him, so will you and I be persecuted. As the devil opposed him, so the devil will oppose you and I. And Paul's first missionary journey was also the first time he, quote-unquote, almost died. Possibly, he might even have died and been raised from the dead. And if you think dying on the old rusty nail into the cross was bad, how about dying from stones thrown at you? You go, kung, ah! And you're still standing, you go, kung, ah! One hits your forehead, one hits your eye, one hits your nose. And they're not stoning you just to give you a few, you know, little stones to drive you away. They're stoning you to death. So if you're on the ground and you're still wriggling, you know, where's, give me a big stone. Somebody said the devil's children. They give it to him and he goes, yuck! And they threw enough stones until they thought that they had died. Now, how many here would like to answer the call of God now for the first missionary journey? No. Thank God He hasn't allowed any of us, unless you won't be here, to go to that kind of opposition. But I know, I understand as a pastor, the opposition that some of you face in your souls, some of you face in your life, some of you face in your environment, seems as real as depressing. But remember, they were all designed for you to overcome. God permitted it for you to overcome. Out of the most horrendous physical opposition came one of the most glorious revelation. When you trace the Apostle Paul's life to the time when he went to the third heaven, which he mentioned 13 years ago in 2 Corinthians 13, and you trace the time of the Apostle Paul's life, the closest time to fit that point in was at this point in Acts chapter 14. When he possibly could have died. And while everybody is looking at that body, I believe the spirit of Paul could have left for a moment. And everyone thought that he was dead, so they just dragged him and chucked him somewhere. But Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, went to the third heaven and saw the glories of God in the third heaven. And that is when God must have shown him things that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered the heart of man. And when he came back into his body, suddenly he got up. And think how frightening it was to everybody. And he's a person who has been stoned. So how do they look like? They look horrible. They'd be bleeding from all over the place. And comes out alive, touched by the glory of God. And did he give up? Never. He never gave up. He went on to have his second missionary journey, third missionary journey, fourth missionary journey. He never gave up. He went on with God. And do you know the rest of his life? Although God healed all his wounds, he was left with some marks. And he was proud of those marks. In the book of Galatians chapter 6, he tells us here, now you know what those marks are in Galatians chapter 6. Chapter 6 verse 11, he says, of Galatians, "See what large letters I have written to you with my own hand." And many people read that and just think that Paul just has, you know, has bad eyesight. They don't realize what he has gone through. Some stones could have possibly hit his eye and all those things, and he would have recovered, he'd been healed. But there were some physical weaknesses that continue from the result of that physical abuse. God can heal, God heal as much as he can. But he bore some marks, he says. "As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, those who compel you to be circumcised that they may not suffer persecution on the cross for Christ." So you know he's talking about persecution. And here, physical persecution. Verse 13. "For not even those who are circumcised kept the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh." And it says, "God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but new creation." And then in verse 17, he says, "Now let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." He is not talking about some manifestation of blood or something, or the stigmata. He's talking